Welcome back to the Roundtable. Singer-songwriter Ani DiFranco is renowned for her outspoken politics, staunch feminism, and commitment to activism. Since 1989, she's released more than 20 records and championed the work of other artists on her Righteous Babe label. She's on a summer tour with Hooray for the Riff Raff, and she spoke with Will Hermes for WAMC. Music writer Will Hermes is a regular contributor to NPR, The New York Times, Rolling Stone, and Pitchfork. He's the author of Love Goes to Buildings on Fire and Lou Reed, The King of New York.
Welcome to the figurative roundtable, Ani DiFranco.
It's really a trapezoid, but we won't tell them. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So our region covers Massachusetts and New York, and you were born, raised for part of your raising in upstate New York, Buffalo?
Yeah, Buffalo. Yeah, as much as I grew up, that's where I did it.
Do you get up there much anymore these days?
No, I sure don't. I haven't been there in years. And Buffalo
Wow.
has been changing so much in the last 10 years. So I wonder if I'll even recognize the place.
Yeah, well, you've got a show coming up there, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you've been living down in New Orleans for many years now, right?
Yeah, 20 plus.
What's life like for you, for Ani DiFranco, down in Louisiana?
Hot and sweaty, steamy, fecund, fragrant. And, you know, very inspirational. You know, New Orleans is, especially for a musician, of course, a very inspirational place to come home to. So I love this city. It's spirit, it's soul. And I love, you know, being a part of such an incredible musical community.
I'll rewind. You started your own record label, Righteous Babe Records, at age 20 back in the previous century, which was before the internet. It was before streaming and Spotify, and you are still running your own label, Righteous Babe. Releasing your albums, a few by other artists. Could you talk a little bit about how that works in 2025 with all the changes that have occurred in music and such?
Music and such, so many changes. I mean, it's kind of amazing to me that Righteous Babe is still kicking after 35 years, but I'm thrilled that we have not just survived, but I feel like the label is, you know, as strong as ever. We have a lot of wonderful new artists coming into the fold, and it's always does my heart good to be able to help other people out whose music is not appealing to major labels, you know, artists that aren't top of the pops, but need some help in this world, of which there are just so many, you know. So Righteous Babe, you know, is a little house now that people, not just I, can go and take shelter in. And it's cool to have been an inspiration to, you know, I love hearing that from other people, that, you know, you started your own record company or did, you know, which made me feel like I could dot, dot, dot. And so I did, you know, and so I love that I was able to plant the seed in a lot of other people's hearts and minds that they can also go against the grain, thwart the system that they were supposed to just fit themselves into and instead do it, you know, devise a different way for themselves forward.
Yeah, and you were doing it at a time when that was super radical. Like, nobody really was doing that so much, certainly not as a single entity operation coming out of the gate, too.
Yeah, like you said, it was pre-internet. So Now it's of course really possible to go from your living room to the world. And
Yes.
people do it every day. Back then, how do you have a career in music without a record company? With and no internet. How do you cut out the middlemen? It was a long, slow problem-solving mission for me, for sure. But there were and still are independent distribution agencies, for instance, back when you had to go to a record store to buy music in physical form. I eventually found the indie distributors, and I found the indie everybody, and over the course of time hooked up with them. Now, of course, the whole game is changed with the internet and social media, and so I feel, a little left behind in my own way.
You've also been working in different mediums. You've been writing books. You published a memoir in 2019, which I can highly recommend to people. It was called No Walls and the Recurring Dreams. You're kind of diversifying your output as a creative person. Did you like the process of writing that book? And it's not your only one now.
Did I like it? Well, I'm not sure if I liked it. It was that was long and hard and challenging for me, somebody who's written in long, skinny columns and distilled language for many decades to write hundreds of pages of complete sentences was like just a whole other bag of donuts and that I felt wholly unprepared for. But I am glad that I did it. I think, I mean, certainly the pandemic spurred me on to change my game because my job as I had known it evaporated, as many of our jobs did. Traveling and gathering people together was no longer a possibility. So, I took on new challenges like writing. Yeah, well, the memoir was before that, but writing children's books, just
Right.
trying to think of different ways to be creative. But at this point, just in my life, I am ready for new challenges, and to change it up because I've written so many Ani songs and played so many Ani shows that, and I've loved it every minute of it, but after 35 years, I am personally searching for what are different ways that I can be an artist, because I've explored that way up and down.
It's also interesting to me that a lot of artists, a lot of musicians seem to be diversifying their creative channels. I think the pandemic, as you mentioned, was certainly part of it because people had time and impetus to explore different channels since we couldn't gather in a for a period. But it also sort of seems just smart. Given the economics these days of making music, putting it out there, people don't buy physical music that much. The streaming platforms pay fractions of a penny per stream, which is pretty unsustainable for most musicians. So it kind of it's I think it's interesting and kind of cool that a lot of artists are working in different mediums, like everybody's a multimedia artist in a way.
Yeah, I mean, since the beginning of my career, touring was my bread and butter. Even
Right.
back in the heyday before streaming, my record sales were not such that, I could sit down and rest. It was really playing live shows that paid the bills, because I was never selling records on the level of, that could afford me to stay home. So, traveling constantly and living in hotels, and especially, since becoming a mom, which is 18 years ago now, my oldest is 18.
Wow.
It's you, for obvious reasons, you start looking for how can I, pay my rent and still be home as a musician. And like you said, the record sales went from a nice little tip on my salary to not even that, yeah, with streaming these days, it's really tough for the indie musicians. So yeah, necessity is the mother of invention. I'm working on writing a theater piece right now. I'm working on the soundtrack for a documentary.
Wow.
Working on a thing called a muse deck, which is going to be sort of a cross between a tarot deck and an artist's inspiration. It's a deck mainly for artists, for inspiring the creative process, but also has a sort of a spiritual contemplative side. Anyway, I'm
Oh, that
just,
sounds pretty interesting. That
yeah.
reminds me, it makes me think of that Brian Eno deck
Yeah,
of
Oblique
cards.
Strategies. Yes,
Yes.
exactly. When you find yourself stuck as an artist, like pull a card or give yourself a reading and see if in there somehow the cards get you in motion again.
I'm always interested in, the creative process and how artists like, shift ideas, generate stuff. A theater piece you mentioned as well. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's a long road, writing a book and then some. I've been sort of pointing myself in its direction for years now and taken a lot of detours and dead ends and then come back. But I think I have my head around what this piece is now, and I'm sort of, chipping my way there.
Okay, well, I could dig more, but I'll leave it at that. Let the mystery be, as
Okay.
someone once said. But you do have a new documentary film, and I know there was a virtual screening of it not long ago. But I wanted to ask how people can see that. It's called 1-800 On Her Own, and it's a career-spanning documentary. I got a peek at it.
Yeah, it's a film made by Dana Floor, and it played in a bunch of art houses around the country, and some of which Dana and I showed up to and did little Q&As and stuff. But now that cycle is coming to an end, so if folks didn't catch it in a art house near them, we just have to wait for a streaming platform to pick it up, which, to my knowledge, is still to be determined.
All right. Well, keep your eyes peeled, Ani DeFranco fans. And I should say, you're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. I'm Will Hermes. I'm speaking with singer-songwriter, multi-hyphenate artist, human, Ani DeFranco. She's got shows in our region, which is part of the excuse. Not that we really need one to catch up with her. Deerfield, Massachusetts. In Accord, New York, at Arrowwood Farms. I think those two shows are sold out, but there are wait lists for tickets. There are also shows Saturday, August 30th in Shelburne, Vermont, and Sunday, August 31st in Ani's hometown of Buffalo, New York. Tickets available for those shows last I checked. You have an album that came out last year, the most recent one, and it's titled Unprecedented Shirt.
Yes, I've been saying unprecedented shiznal
Okay, unprecedented stuff, but I like schnizzle or schnizzle better. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about that because there's some stuff that actually feels quite unprecedented to my ear. Abrasive stuff, electronic distortion, noise, various shades of noise, some sampling. There's also a lot of silence on the record, and a lot of quiet, and plenty of stuff that people who are familiar with your work will say, oh yeah, that's her signature guitar playing and poetry up front and center. How would you describe your music making process these days? And just what are you up to musically down there?
Well, I guess, it's part of that general thing we were talking about a minute ago where I'm just trying to change it up. I just want
Right.
to do something new and differently. So, I've made whatever it is now, 23 records, and by and large, I go into recording studio and I set up microphones in front of my face and my instrument and maybe my fellow musicians. And we have made my records old school, which is to say humans playing instruments. But for some years now, modern record making, that's really like one element of, it's almost like people playing instruments is a spice
Right.
in the modern meal of recorded music. So, and for years I have wanted to explore the possibilities of the computer, basically, which so many others are harnessing to great effect. But it's not my world. I'm a Luddite. I'm a folk singer.
Right on.
So, what I did was I found somebody, BJ Burton, who does live in that world and is able to be extremely intuitive and creative with all this new technology that I know nothing about. And I pretty much gave him just free rein. Just here's my songs that I recorded at home. And I would send the basic elements to him, voice and guitar. Maybe I overdubbed a few things. And he would either manipulate them beyond recognition or just strip them down as naked as possible. Like you said, it's a real study in contrasts, this record, which I love. I love contrast. And his instinct was to really, I think, crank up my voice and make it very present and front and center. And then there's either a whole lot of nothing or a whole lot of whoa happening around it.
Well, let's give a listen to one of the tracks. There you released a few as singles. I like New Bible. It kind of feels like an old blues song. That might be one of the older school models, but let's take a listen.
If that nurse don't get you, then her sister will. With her Monday through Sunday dispenser pills. Don't know which of my habits will be my demise. But there's more ways every day to betray what is wise. It troubles the body, all this hidden pollution. Making some kind of cancer, foregone conclusion. And deep in my saddlebags I carry a rage for the greedy top feeders in their invisible cage. Oh, rise the proletariat, red banners unfurl. Let's mend the failures of history and the man-made world. Let's mend the failures of the profit system. Let's rewrite the law books. Quit following the path of least resistance, 'cause that's what makes the real crooked. Let's evolve into our true nature, so little flowers can't bloom in a world where relationship is sacred and sacrifice is assumed. All for one and one for all. Boom, chicka boom, boom.
So that was New Bible by Ani DeFranco. I'm here with her on the round table. Except the quiet is gone, proving technology gets you nowhere if your intentions are all wrong. I like some of the sentiments in that song. They hit home.
Yeah, thanks. There's plenty of sentiments in there, huh? I call that one a rant. My friend Utah Phillips, the great folk singer, storyteller, and friend and mentor of mine. He always loved a good rant, and that's what I think of New Bible is just a rant, a good old-fashioned
Yes.
folk tirade.
And rants are necessary. We all do our share of them. And I wanted to ask you, it was funny, I pulled out your memoir from my shelf, and I and a, and a and an old press release from 2019 when it came out dropped out of it. And this was a question I would have asked you in one form or another, but sometimes this is sort of pulling back the curtain, the journalistic curtain. You might get a press release that'll have some suggested questions on it. And it struck me that one of the suggested questions was, you've been an outspoken activist your entire career. What issues are most important to you at this time? And have you felt a shift in activism since President Trump took office? This was from 2019.
Yeah.
So here we are in 2025. So I did
Here
want
we
to
are.
ask you
Here
that
we are.
big question.
Yeah, like a reoccurring nightmare. Yeah, I mean, I've on it's funny that that's a suggested question. I mean, my team is, I love them and they're wonderful and trying to help out. But the truth is, I've never really. Issues, the idea of having issues has never really fit for me. I've been asked that my whole life. What are the issues that you're most concerned with? Or blah. I mean, for me, the issue is, are we all free? Are we all free? Are we all just as empowered and free and respected and included as the next guy? I think, like many people, we're sort of on this exhausting gauntlet of having to try to respond to daily insanity and lies and illegal actions and devolution of everything that we hold dear and our very democracy and. It's and then looking around at our elected leaders and feeling panic stricken, like why is nobody standing up to this? Why isn't there an impeachment filed every day for these illegal actions? Why is this allowed to happen and that allowed to happen and this allowed to be said and that when it's obviously not true? And that's sort of exhausting and debilitating, which we know as, one of these sort of hidden strategies of, just go harder. So I think for me, the solution has been to get back to some, instead of being caught in a cycle of reacting myself and exhausting myself that way. What I've done is I've sort of doubled down in applying myself to my work. One of the things I'm working on is a documentary that I, soundtrack work that I think will be very powerful and very helpful in helping us as a culture to move beyond. These fundamental paradigms that we're working within, which, are, for instance, patriarchal. There's this kind of core imbalance of the masculine and the feminine from which our culture, our politics, our society is springing from. So that's something we need to address again by stepping really back before all the issues were ever invented and address the core imbalance of patriarchy, and try to heal that so that, I think in so doing, we solve a lot of the problems that these issues, are centered around. Also just, the sort of fundamental, besides the patriarchal religious basis of our culture and society. You know, there's this kind of Western scientific materialism that I think is at the core of all of our thinking, not disconnected from certainly the rest, but I think that is almost a religion of sorts that we don't know we are praying to. And I think that needs to be shaken loose again. I think it's all about igniting the divine feminine, not just by freeing women, but by freeing it in all of us. This is the kind of core work that I think the projects that I'm involved in are helping to do. So I guess that's sort of the way I'm attacking it is let me just try to take many steps back before any of these issues were invented and do the work of, you know, going back to that first wrong turn.
Right. And this feels very much what you've been doing, from where I sit, for your full career. So, you know, that and gathering people, which we'll be able to do at shows that you're putting on in the region, I think feels super important in this piece to kind of commune and, you know, share these ideas in musical form. And otherwise, you're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. I'm Will Hermes, and I'm speaking with singer-songwriter, multi-hyphenate artist Ani DeFranco. She's got shows in our area coming up: Deerfield, Massachusetts; Acard, New York, at Arrowwood Farms; Shelburne, Vermont; and Buffalo, New York. Boy, I could talk to you for another half an hour. There's so much stuff, but I think we've got to wrap it up. Thanks so much, Ani DeFranco, for spending some time with us today, and look forward to seeing you on the ground soon.
Well, thank you, Will. It's my pleasure.
Special WAMC contributor Will Hermes speaking with Ani DeFranco. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.